This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. For some of you, the second hour of Intelligent Medicine. For those who can't hear the first hour in your local radio outreach, you can listen live via a convenient link that we post weekly on Facebook, and that's available at drhoffman.com. We've got 2 hours of broadcast, and if you miss the first hour, we'll post it usually on Monday. You can listen to the full 2 hours of the program. We got lots to talk about. We invite your calls, 888-302-3684. We'll start the program talking about those powerful heartburn medications that are so popular. An estimated 1 in 14 Americans uses an over-the-counter PPI, proton pump inhibitor. They go by various names, Prilosec, Nexium, many others. And they're used to treat ulcers and gastrointestinal reflux. That's a popular diagnosis these days. So common because, well, people don't pay attention to what they eat. Usually that's the main cause. It used to be called good old-fashioned heartburn. Now it's a pretext for taking a powerful drug. We know these drugs cause problems. They put you at higher risk for C. difficile diarrhea, a devastating, hard-to-treat intestinal problem. They put you at higher risk for pneumonia. They put you at higher risk for small intestine bacterial overgrowth, which can result in irritable bowel, chronic diarrhea. They deplete certain nutrients, magnesium, B12 in particular. And on it goes. And about a year ago, somebody pointed out very disturbingly that they increase your risk of heart disease. And now, the self-same researcher had published an article in the journal Circulation, which highlights a plausible reason why people who take proton pump inhibitors have a higher risk for heart disease. And this is a big deal. It's just not getting enough press. That's why I'm leading with this story here on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Dr. John P. Cook, chair of cardiovascular disease research at the Houston Methodist Research Institute, told FoxNews.com, quote, "I'm perplexed that the pharmaceutical industry didn't run across this first. This is something that should have been apparent a long time ago and should have been investigated." The reason for the higher incidence of heart disease and circulatory problems in people who take the PPIs is because vascular cells, the cells that line blood vessels, which are exposed to PPIs, had a buildup of cellular garbage in their cellular linings, which thus accelerated blood vessel aging. It's also been shown that PPIs decrease nitric oxide in endothelial cells. We talked a lot about nitric oxide on this program. Nitric oxide is the substance, the chemical messenger that causes blood vessels to expand and dilate. But if PPIs decrease their ability to expand and dilate, the result can be an adverse impact on cardiovascular health. In 2015, Dr. Cook led a study that linked regular long-term PPI use to a 20% increased risk of heart attack among a database of 3 million patients. So could it in part be due to magnesium deficiency? Yes, that's a known side effect. But there seem to be direct toxic effects of PPIs on the arteries themselves. In addition, studies showed that the PPIs caused telomeres to shorten. Telomeres are the little tips on chromosomes that prevent them from unraveling, like the tips on your shoelaces. And you know what happens when those come off? Your shoelaces start to fray. Same thing happens in your cells when your telomeres are short. They tend to expire. And then when they're no longer holding the genetic material together, the chromosomes unravel. Chaos ensues in the body. Degenerative disease sets in, and people end up dying. Directly associated with longevity. Telomere length is now a known scientific marker for longevity. So this is serious stuff. And yeah, there's some people who need these PPIs, short term, hopefully. But this argues for a concerted effort to get some of the tens of millions of Americans who depend on these drugs off these medications by whatever means possible. Usually natural means completely successful at alleviating the need to depend on these drugs for a lifetime. Doctors often prescribe them that way. They say, people say, well, how long do I need to take this drug? Doctor says, nah, you'll be taking this the rest of your life. It's okay. And the side effects are minor. No problem. But a 20% increase in risk of heart disease? That ain't good. 888-302-3684. That's really, you know, the central theme of this program. Dependency on drugs. Okay, yeah, you know, short term sometimes. But we want to avoid dependency on these, many of these medications, these seemingly harmless medications, because they do have sometimes lasting and profound side effects. 888-302-3684. Let's start with a call from Florida. Debbie, welcome. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I'm calling because I had some blood work done, and my D3 level is 26, and my B12 was 338.
Mm-hmm. And those are kind of low. Now, your doctor will not tell you that you're deficient in those things, because those are actually within the range, the range of normal. But go ahead.
I've had, what I'm wondering is if I just don't absorb them well, because I've had H. pylori that I healed myself and it went away, and I've had gastritis, but I've never taken antibiotics. I'm not a medicine person, so I try to do everything naturally. But I'm wondering, will I ever absorb them, being I had those problems? Is this what the problem is?
So, yeah, if you have gastrointestinal problems, you are more likely to be an inefficient absorber of the nutrients from your food. So therefore, that kind of calls for additional supplementation. You may need, I mean, presumably you're taking a B vitamin supplement or a multi with B12 in it.
Yes, just a multi.
A multi. Okay. And the D, how much D do you take every day?
2,000.
So unfortunately, and this is why we test for vitamin D, 2,000 should be fine. That's quite a lot of vitamin D3. But for some people, they are inefficient absorbers. So you may need 4,000 or even 5,000 a day to reach the threshold of 40, which we consider optimal for vitamin D. With B12, they won't tell you you have a deficiency unless it's below 200 or 180. But I recently shared with listeners a study that showed that people in the low range of normal of vitamin B12 had a higher likelihood of cognitive impairment than people who had B12, say, over 450 or 500.
Right, I read that too. But under 400 isn't too good.
So you could take a B12 supplement. The suggestion is that you take something like methylcobalamin, which is a readily absorbed bioavailable form of B12. That would be good, and then you can have your levels rechecked. And then you can avert the risk of fatigue or brain fog or memory problems.
I have brain fog right now.
You have it. Okay. Well, any number of reasons why that is may not be due to the B12. But, so definitely you can amp up your supplementation because, you know, supplementation is a funny thing. You know, it's like we say, well, take a multi, take this amount of vitamin D, take this amount of whatever. But it's different strokes for different folks. Some people are inefficient absorbers. Some people have medical conditions that cause them to require more. Some people are on medications, like, for example, these acid blockers that prevent absorption of magnesium and B vitamins and other critical nutrients. So sometimes you have to, up the ante a little bit to overcome those blockades.
Right, right. I'm sorry.
Thanks for
my
call.
How many milligrams should I take of the B12?
I think it's like 500 to 1,000 micrograms. But your dog needs you, so take care of him.
Thank you so kindly. Have a wonderful day, doctor.
Okay, you too. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is their number. When we return, we're going to talk about the risk of personal care products during pregnancy. This is Intelligent Medicine.
As consumers in the 21st century, we are truly fortunate to have an abundance of choices in our daily lives. But when it comes to digestive health, there should only be one choice. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, easily recognizable in the bright green box on your retailer's shelf. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics stands out among all others. Never freeze-dried, but always live and viable due to a unique 3-year fermentation process, award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics provides the restorative balance needed to support your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint. And that is very important, as no two of us are alike. With over 30 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics takes digestive and wellness support to a whole new level. So look for the bright green box on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 in free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And this week, among the Daily Intelligent Medicine podcast, two great cancer podcasts. We've got podcasts available on a daily basis. You can listen to them via drhoffman.com, or you can subscribe via Stitcher or iTunes, your favorite subscription service. And one was with Dr. Linda Isaacs, who is the colleague of the late, great Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, talking about their very innovative approach to cancer treatment, utilizing nutrition and supplements and detoxification entirely without reliance on conventional treatments. And a second really excellent podcast I urge you to listen, Dr. Thomas Seyfried, who is the world's expert on the application of a ketogenic diet to cancer. Very, very interesting podcast. And he also brought up the synergy of ketogenic diet with hyperbaric oxygen treatment for some very resistant cancers. And he did not preclude the use of conventional therapies, just a diet and hyperbaric oxygen are great adjuncts to whatever kind of cancer therapy you're undertaking. So this is a good point to tell you about Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. It's the premier non-hospital provider of hyperbaric oxygen therapy in the New York metro area with 3 outpatient centers. HBOT, the use of pure oxygen under pressure in a controlled environment, and it's a natural non-invasive medical treatment. Hyperbaric Medical Solutions uses HBOT to help treat many conditions, including diabetic wounds, the effects of radiation, bone infections, and severe burns, all approved by the FDA. Now, there are certain other conditions with emerging research and positive outcomes that are also treated at Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. And we've done some excellent podcasts on the subject. You can check them out as well at drhoffman.com. That includes TBI, that's traumatic brain injury, stroke, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, or complex regional pain syndrome, autoimmune degenerative conditions, sports-related injuries, and enhanced surgical recovery. Hyperbaric Medical Solutions is in network with most insurance carriers, and it's a private office, so it provides greater comfort and convenience at a lower cost than hospital-based centers. So to learn more about how Hyperbaric Medical Solutions can help you achieve your optimal health, call this number, 844-877-HBOT. That's 844-877-HBOT, or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman. hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman. Okay, a couple of things can go wrong during pregnancy. I want to warn expectant moms about use of personal care products during pregnancy linked to adverse effects in newborns. Researchers say our latest study adds to the growing body of evidence showing that endocrine disrupting compounds can lead to developmental and reproductive problems in animals and in humans. So this is the first human study that has shown that triclosan, which is a disinfectant, right? It's an antibacterial agent. It's added to soaps. Is associated with a shorter gestational age at birth. In other words, greater risk of prematurity. Another common chemical added to lotions and creams, paraben. Check out how many of your products contain paraben. Probably a lot. Shampoos, cosmetics, was associated with decreased body length at birth. The long-term consequences of this are not clear, but the findings need to be investigated. And here's another one. So you're pregnant and you want to avoid sugar, so you drink a Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, you use artificial sweeteners in your yogurts. Artificially sweetened drinks in pregnancy tied to higher infant body mass index is a problem because a higher infant body mass index is associated with a higher risk of eventual adult obesity, diabetes risk, sometimes even diabetes with onset in childhood. And so researchers from the University of Manitoba looked at the relationship between artificially sweetened beverages and pregnancy outcomes. And they found that the highest incidence of overweight among babies born to mothers who reported daily artificially sweetened beverage consumption was roughly twice as high among daily consumers versus non-consumers. So what's up with that? Well, we know that these beverages tend to increase the weight of adult consumers. Possibly pregnant women consuming them may pass this trait along to their children. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. When we return, more of your phone calls, more information. Stay with us. This is Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald here, Hoffman here. And here's a special message to Intelligent Medicine listeners. We're making it easier to become a patient at the Hoffman Center. And here's how. To help make care more affordable and accessible, we've forged an alliance with a new clinical laboratory, AccuReference, that accepts all major insurances. And so a visit to the Hoffman Center is now that much more economical because your lab tests are likely to get covered. So to become a patient of the Hoffman Center, call for information during the week, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. Or find information on the web at drhoffman.com about our procedures and the wide gamut of conditions we address. 212-779-1744. My staff and I look forward to taking care of you. All right. Let's take a call now from Connie in New York. How are you doing, Connie?
Oh, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have a question. How long can a person stay on strontium? I had a bone test done about 6 years ago, and I did have osteoporosis and some osteopenia. Mm-hmm. And my doctor had put me on strontium about 5 years ago. Is that too long to be on it?
And that's a really good question, and nobody really knows the answer. And the answer may be that you can stay on it in perpetuity. But what I've noticed is that many of my patients who've started on strontium and have been taking it as long as you have seen significant improvements in their bone density to the point where we might say, hey, take a rest because your bone density looks good. And, you know, they're free of fractures and their risk has been minimized. There is a concern about bisphosphonates. These are the commonly prescribed medications, you know, Actonel,
right.
Fosamax, and Boniva. But they work differently than strontium. There's a completely different mechanism of action. But so I think one of the reasons why we're starting to get a lot of calls, well, how long can you stay on strontium? For the same reason that people are worried about being on the bisphosphonates for more than 4 or 5 years. The risk of fracture goes down when you take bisphosphonates, but then it starts to go up slightly, unusual types of fractures, that is, caused by fragility of the bone and brittleness, after about 3, 4, 5 years of use. So now doctors are saying, okay, enough of this already. We've improved your bone with the bisphosphonates. We've got to get you off. I'm not sure at all if that's happening with strontium. But as a precaution with some of my patients, even though it's a completely different mechanism of action, I've said, hey, it's good enough. Let's, take you off and let's do all the other things that help bone, you know, do weight bearing exercise, take adequate vitamin D, take Ostera, which is a bone enhancing nutrient, take a product called Osteoprive, which combines all the, you know, the right things, calcium and boron and magnesium in the right proportions with a Perflavone, to enhance bone. And maybe we can protect our gains. We won't see such spectacular improvements from year to year without the strontium. Maybe we don't need the strontium for much longer, especially if you start going into the, you know, near normal range.
Right. So I should really get a test.
Yeah. Well, you need a test, definitely, to see where you're at. And on the basis of that, your doctor can make a decision about whether it's safe to pull the strontium. You may not need it anymore. Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
This is something I'm excited about, and they've become a sponsor because we're always looking for natural ways to deal with blood pressure. You know, blood pressure medications, they cause side effects, and often they really don't even do the job. So if you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, here's some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. It's the Zona Plus. It's really been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people, according to studies. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. It's used once a day for just 12 minutes. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. That's incredible. Try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months. See if it works for you. If it doesn't, return it for a full refund. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com. Okay, let's talk to Jean in New Jersey. How are you doing?
Hi, doctor. Glad you're there for us. Listen,
my pleasure.
The pituitary gland.
Yeah.
Can you say something about how it functions and what? As I understand it, it replaces some estrogens or something after a hysterectomy. The reason I ask is because I'm in my upper 80s, and all of these other ladies are little, you know, the bunny rabbit with the drum all over the place, and I can't move a muscle.
Right, right. So you feel kind of tired and devitalized, right?
Yes, but they've all had hysterectomies.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them. And I wondered if there was a relationship between what the
pituitary is doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you're thinking out of the box, but let's try to give you a simple scientific explanation. The pituitary gland is literally in the brain, and it sends a signal to all the other glands in the body. It sends signals to the testes in men. It sends signals to the ovaries in women. It sends signals to the thyroid in both sexes, and it sends signals to the adrenals in both sexes. And then it does other things in terms of fluid regulation and, you know, some other functions, growth hormone and so on. So when you go through menopause, what happens is typically your ovaries shut down, okay? And that's like programmed. It's programmed in women just like vision declines and you need reading glasses. It's, you know, you're not likely to see a lot of women, you know, who are 65 who are cranking out regular periods without the assistance of hormone replacement therapy. It's just not happening. That doesn't mean that they can't live many, many decades beyond. There's a woman who's 116 in Europe, celebrating her 116th birthday. She was born in 1899. And she probably went through menopause in the 1930s or something. Maybe during World War II. So, what happens when your ovaries stop producing estrogen is your pituitary starts to scream at your ovaries. It starts to scream, make more estrogen. It sends out FSH and LH in high amounts to try and wake up your ovaries, but to no avail. So your pituitary doesn't produce estrogen at all. However, even though women after menopause stop having periods, they still have a little bit of estrogen. But that estrogen comes from other pathways. To some extent, it comes from the ovaries. To some extent, you may go through pathways in the adrenals for synthesis. So you're going to have a little bit of estrogen. So you can't necessarily blame your pituitary, although it's possible your pituitary is deficient in other ways, that your pituitary isn't sending signals to your adrenals, which are responsible for your get up and go. You may have an endocrine problem, but it may not be at the level of the pituitary. It may be any of the other organs, so the thyroid. Or, when you're in your 80s, it can be any number of things. So you need a workup. You need a basic workup. Is it nutritional? Is it endocrine? Is it, some sort of inflammatory condition? Is it food intolerance? Are your mitochondria getting tired? You know, the energy factories in your cells, do they need a boost from things like carnitine or coenzyme Q10 or one of the new supplements that I like, nicotinamide riboside, which we did a podcast on last week. We'll put that podcast up next week. Those are some of the things that could be going on for you. But, you're thinking out of the box. It's just that probably it's not your pituitaries that are going to make a lot of estrogen.
I see. Thank you so very, very much.
My pleasure. Keep on listening and keep on learning because, hopefully some of this information could be relevant to your situation and make a difference for you. All right. Inflammation in the body measured by C-reactive protein. C-reactive protein, common test that can be done in your doctor's office. Highly sensitive C-reactive protein, even better for predicting the risk of cardiovascular disease. So what supplements can reduce C-reactive protein? I wrote an article on this a year ago or so. You can check it out at drhoffman.com. But a new study suggests, actually not a new study. I see this study came from a journal in 2011, treatment with omega-3 fatty acids reduces serum C-reactive protein concentration. Fish oil is a potent weapon against inflammation throughout the body. So make fish oil part of your daily regimen, and especially if you're not consuming lots of oily fish like salmon. 888-302-3684 is our number. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with Intelligent Medicine.
At Wakanaga of America, we have dedicated the past 44 years proudly producing Kyolic, the world's most scientifically researched, best-selling, and odorless aged garlic extract. We begin with 100% organically grown garlic from our farms in California for maximum purity. We age our garlic to perfection in a unique 20-month extraction process to eliminate odor and create beneficial compounds found only in Kyolic. Aged garlic extract has been researched in more than 750 published scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA. Studies have focused on cholesterol, high blood pressure, immune stimulation, and all major cardiovascular risk factors. This is the Kyolic difference. So when you're looking for a supplement for great cardiovascular support, reach for the number one best-selling and odorless aged garlic extract, Kyolic. Please visit our website at kyolic.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at fine health food stores everywhere.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. A commonly asked question: should you fast before getting a cholesterol blood test? In the past, doctors have demanded that people come in fasting, which is pretty inconvenient because, say, your appointment's in the afternoon, and by the time you get to the doctor's office, you're barely coherent. You can barely think and talk while relating your complicated medical condition to the doctor. You forget everything, and the appointment is wasted. But they got the right blood test. Or alternatively, somebody arrives there, already ate something. Doctor says, oh, no, you got to go home. And then, drive again that 40 miles to come to the office to get a test in the morning. According to the latest analysis in Journal of the American Medical Association, fasting isn't required before lipid levels are measured. Non-fasting blood tests are pretty predictive of cardiovascular risk. And yes, there may be a difference. The difference is most likely to occur not so much in cholesterol levels, but in triglyceride levels. Triglycerides are very susceptible to the effects of eating, in particular carbohydrates. And it is suggested that these guidelines suggest that when triglyceride levels are greater than 400 in a non-fasting test, that the person come back again fasting to see what that's all about. That would be a bad sign because triglycerides highly associated with metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, propensity to diabetes, cardiovascular disease with its associated hypertension. So triglyceride levels are the only ones that really are going to be majorly affected by whether you ate or not before your cholesterol test. And so that should avoid a lot of extra travel and inconvenience for patients. All right, let's talk to Lily. Welcome. How are you doing?
So triglyceride levels are the only ones.
Got to turn down the radio, Lily, because it's on in the background.
Majorly affected by whether you ate or not.
Okay, I guess we're going to go to Martha while Lily figures out her radio situation.
Hello. Hey, I was told 2 days ago. Thank you for your program.
Yeah.
I was told 2 days ago that the pain in my right knee that I've had since January is because both my knees have arthritis.
Okay. That would be a logical conclusion. Yes, indeed.
I don't know how to behave myself. I'm pretty active, not in a scheduled way. But if there's something to pick up off the floor, I'm likely to do a deep knee bend. I take the stairs whenever there are stairs. Now I was told stairs are not good. Deep knee bending is bad. Now, where is the line I draw between babying my knees? If I'm just going to sit for the rest of my life.
That's actually a pretty good question. And the question is, you know, if you have arthritis of the knees, which is really common, or arthritis in general, what is the effect of moderate exercise on arthritis? Is it destructive? Is it making things worse? Are you grinding your gears and pulverizing your synovial membranes when you do, you know, basic things like walking or climbing stairs? Or are you offering yourself a little bit of physical therapy when you do the exercise? And the answer is you kind of have to find that sweet spot between underexertion, which can cause you to turn into a rusty suit of armor, and then your knees lock, and then you're really in trouble, or overexertion, which can inflame the joints and create trouble. And, you know, it's different strokes for different folks, but most studies have shown that the response to even rheumatoid arthritis, which can be really crippling and debilitating, should not be complete bed rest, because that won't slow the progression of the disorder. It won't safeguard your joints. Ultimately, it'll cause you to be stiffer, and it won't slow the disease. So, you know, suggestion for you, under the guidance of somebody who's doing a program of physical therapy, get some suggestions, figure out what the right, it's that Goldilocks thing. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Find out what the right amount of exercise is for you to keep those knees mobilized so the problem doesn't get worse, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And I love the way you put things. Oh, my gosh, Goldilocks. Okay, thank you.
I think you got that analogy. Thanks for your call. All right, we got Lily back on the line. Let's give her a chance to pose her question.
Not too hot, not too cold. Just
hello.
Oh, Lily, doctor. Lily got to turn on the radio. I think we got a problem with that. You did it?
Doctor, okay, I lost my sense of taste.
Yeah.
It's over a month and a half now, and I went to an eye, ear, nose doctor, and he thinks it's some kind of a neuralgia or a virus or...
A virus. Okay, so here's, there are many causes of loss of taste or smell, and you could have had, like he says, a virus, or you could have some sort of inflammatory problem or an autoimmune problem. This is it's akin to deafness, you know, that you lose sudden onset deafness. And one of the things that could be helpful for this, there are actually some studies that show that alpha lipoic acid can be helpful for loss of taste, and I don't know whether it's actually loss of taste or whether it's the loss of your olfactory sense. Sometimes the things are sort of blended. But if it's, especially if it's taste and it involves the tongue, there's studies that suggest that high-dose alpha-lipoic acid helps a condition called burning tongue syndrome, and it also may help to restore the taste buds, the nerves in the tongue that are associated with taste sensation. So what you need to do is try alpha-lipoic acid. I would recommend that you try about 600 milligrams three times a day for at least a month or 6 weeks and see if that makes a dent in your symptoms. This is a tough kind of condition, and your doctor probably didn't offer any cure, just said, okay, that's what you got. Here's the explanation.
He said it should come back, and he thinks maybe I had the shingles 2 years ago.
Right.
I do have a post-neuralgia from it.
Ah, well, you'd guess so that's a nerve-related problem. It's even more likely that the alpha-lipoic acid could make a difference.
Could make a difference?
It might. Yeah, give it a shot. Give it a shot.
What are they, capsules?
600 milligrams three times a day. All right, this is an item that I'll close the program with. Teens who eat lots of fruit may lower their breast cancer risk. You know, so much breast cancer in young women. A recent report found that consumption of apples, bananas, and grapes during adolescence was strongly associated with a drop in breast cancer risk. Roughly 3 daily servings of such fruits was linked to a 25% drop in risk by middle age. So get those teenagers consuming fresh fruits and vegetables. It could make a difference in terms of some pretty consequential problems down the line. All right. Thanks very much for joining us. Remember that this program is but the flagship of a whole series of podcasts that you can access via drhoffman.com. We also got a great newsletter recently. We weighed in on the yeast connection, and that story we'll put up on Monday, and you can follow us and on Facebook as well and on Twitter. Put out a lot of information here at Intelligent Medicine, and we want you to share in it. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.